Afternoon, Leila Turaway, North West London, Friday, 22nd of Kislev, 16th of December, Rabbi Moshe B'tzalel Grossman's Shlita, Parshas Vayeshev, and Hadlokas Neiris. This week's Turaway has been sponsored by families Geller and Kreutzer, Lichbud Simchas Hanaser of Tirza and Avi. Kassana was last Sunday, Yehi Rotzon Sheivnu Bayas Neman B'Yisrael, L'Shem V'Lis Hilo.
Good morning. Today, you know the saying, fresh off the press? So this Stickle Torah is so fresh off the press that it's not even come off the press yet, it's still on the computer. So, right, let's begin. This Sedra is full with the idea of Chashad. We have Yosef HaTzadik and his complaints against the Shvatim, and then you have later Yosef with Potiphar. Yosef with Potiphar, and therefore it is a sedra with a lot of the idea of chashad. So I'd like to tie that in with Hanukkah, that also has, surprisingly, a lot of halachas relevant to chashad. I'd like to try and explain why is that specific halacha relevant to Hanukkah more than other places where chashad plays a role. I'll explain what I mean chashad soon. But let's begin with the Orchis Chaim LeRosh, the Musa Sefer, who says, Al ta'ase dovosh yaligu habriyos. Don't do something that people will ridicule or look at wrongly. Shedarkom lahalim atoivos or legalos orois. The way of people is, I mean, you think, you know, because you've done 1,000 good things, so people will ignore something you do that raises an eyebrow. It's not like that. People home in, you see it with politics, you see it with all sorts of things, people home in straight away to the thing that's going to be a source of gossip, a source of excitement. Why that is, maybe because people seek excitement, whatever it is, or seek to feel better than someone else, whatever it is exactly, but Chazal and the Musa Svarim warned, it's not kedai to do such a thing, even when it's not such a bad thing necessarily, but people will home into it, and this will become the essence of what they see this person as. The Torah in Hilchos Chanukah, in Siman Tov Resh, Ayin Aleph Siv Ches, tells us an interesting halacha. Imagine you have a big house. And this big house, its front is on one road, and it backs up onto another road. So you have like two front doors. One on road A, and one on the road behind, road B. And the shaila is, where should you light your menorah? And the truth is, you can lie on either side. Choose your front door. As long as there's a rabbim on one of the two sides, you're okay to go. However, the Shulchan Aruch says you should light on both sides. You should light on both sides. Why? Because if you light, let's say, on, I don't know, what road should we choose?
Oakfield
and PPA. Yeah, Oakfield and PPA. So if you light on, let's say, Oakfields, people on PPA might not go past Oakfields the whole of Hanukkah. They'll see no menorah on your front door on PPA. And they'll say, you didn't light the menorah. Therefore, light on PPA as well, so that they know that you lit the menorah. And the Beis Yosef asks the Kasha, we have find in Maseches Brachos that you shouldn't pass a shul. Walk past the shul. Let's say this is the only shul in town. You shouldn't just walk past. Because if you do, people will be choshed at you. They'll say, hey, why didn't you come into Daven? Why didn't you come into Daven? Ah, he's not coming to Daven today. However, if there's two doors to the shul, and they're looking, and they see you miss the first door, they're not going to think you're not coming to shul. They'll think you're coming in through the second door. And therefore, it's okay. So how come, when it comes to the psychology of people being choshed at you regarding shul, as soon as they've got something to pin on, that you're coming, you're just delaying, you're just coming through another door, we say that they'll accept that you're going to use that other door. And yet, with regards to Hanukkah, even though you've got another door as an option to light, they don't accept that. They say, if you didn't light here, you didn't light there. Why? Why are they more choshed you regarding Hanukkah than regarding davening and shul? So the Beis Yosef gives two interesting answers. Answer number one, tefillah is kabbalas o malach shemayim. Everyone's going to be mekabel o malach shemayim. Everyone's an Elach Yid. O Yomar Shemayim is the basics. And therefore, if there's only one door to shul, and they see you walking past, they know you're not coming to shul, and they're choshed you. But as soon as there's another door, they assume, of course, Ayid's going to go into shul and be Mekabel Yomar Shemayim, he's surely going to come through the other door, and they're not choshed him. But Menaira is a mitzvah, it's not Kabbalah Yomar Shemayim, it's not like Yesoid Hayadus. And therefore, they're a bit more lenient, and they're machmir and they're chashad on you. And as soon as they see you don't light here, they assume you didn't light over there. Stam Agav, I was flicking through some svarim, and I thought it was slightly relevant to this. We're talking about Kabbalah Samar Shemayim, every yid does. Rav Chaim Palagi was a rov in Izmir, in Turkey. He writes that B'Yemehem, when they had a certain strength, the Rabbonus, they used to have like a mashgiach force, police force. And if someone didn't turn up to shul for a while, they'd send the force over to his house to check if he's davening. And if he'd say, yeah, sure, I davened today, and it was unlikely, they would make him roll up his sleeves to check if the tefillin marks were still there. But al kavanim, another question we had, another teretz we have from the Beis Yosef, a second teretz, it's also an interesting one. Again, why regarding shul are we more lenient with our chashad and we say he comes in the other door, and regarding menorah we're more machmir, we assume him not to light? Says the Beis Yosef of the second teretz, not everyone's going to agree with this teretz. The second teretz is, shul doesn't cost any money, right? Shul, you come, you daven, you go home. Menorah, check the price of the oil today, menorah costs. So it could be he's skimping on the cost of the menorah. Now someone told me, what do you mean every morning it costs me, besides the membership, it costs me every morning good money. Okay. But that's what the Beis Yosef answers. Now, let's just share one more teretz, which gives us a little bit of flavor of what it means to go to shul. The Chochma Shloima, Rav Shloima Kluger. Shloima Kluger was a phenomenal gadol. Rav Shloima Kluger, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman writes in a letter, you never know which Talmud is going to make it to shine in Klal Yisrael. Rav Shloima Kluger was a yosem, and was being brought up by a man that was blind. Rav Shloima Kluger would guide him to the market, and this man would sell wares in the market, and this is how they'd have a panos. So he wasn't a learning boy at all, Rav Shloima Kluger. Until the Dubna Magid found him and saw a potential in this boy, and he took him to yeshiva. Now, I think Rav Aaron Leib writes as well, I don't think there's anyone today from the history of Klal Yisrael that has written as much as Rav Shloima Kluger, or at least that has written as much and it's made it to print. They're still printing his Sforim. He's got whole Sforim chunks of Sforim, Rav Shloima Kluger has. They've just done on Bereshis, just his Sforim on Bereshis, and it's not drush, it's like heavy. Each Sedra is a Sefer this thick. And he's got Shulchan Aruch and on everything. So he says, you never know from who could come the Gadlus. Anyway, he was found, and amongst his many Torahs, he answers this question. Rav Shloima Kluger says, by a shul, we know there's a mitzvah of schar halicha. That's why in Shulchan Aruch it's brought be'etzem to choose the furthest shul in town. There is such an opinion. You want to choose a shul, you're not sure which shul to choose. The furthest one, the one that you're going to have to walk the furthest to. Why? Schar halicha bi'otcha. And therefore, you know why if there's two doors, people aren't choshed that you're not coming to shul? Because, he passed one door, he maybe wants to walk a bit more towards shul and he's coming in through the second door. There's no reason to assume not. The fact that he missed one door is not a chashad. Maybe he wants to walk a bit more to shul. But, by Hanukkah, why are you light? Why not lighting here? They don't think, so you lit there. They say, if you didn't light here, you didn't light there. But, says Rav Shloima Kluger, and here we're going to start finding a leniency regarding Hanukkah. If there is a reason for them to think that you chose the other side of the house for a good reason, similar to the idea of because of schar halicha, then there will not be choshed you for not lighting. So what would be a good reason? Says Rav Shloima Kluger, geshmak idea. What happens if Oakfields is quieter and PPA is a noisier road? And let's say the people on Oakfield see, he didn't light here. Oh, if he didn't light here, he didn't light there. No. They will reason and say he wants to do more Pirsum and Nisa. That's the whole concept of Hanukkah. And therefore, surely he chose PPA to light because there's a reason to. And now there won't be Choshed and Miksheir. It's only when there's no reason on one side more than the other, and they say sort of, if he didn't do it here, he didn't do it there, even though could be he did it there. But then people are that way orientated that they say, no, he didn't do it. But when there's a reason to assume he did it on the other side, then they will be makel and say he lit on the other side. Interestingly, Moshe Feinstein actually says the whole takona, this whole worry that people will say he didn't light, actually stems from this sort of case. He says what it is sometimes, let's say I live, as we said, Oakfield backing on PPA. And let's say Oakfield's is quieter. But for whatever reason, I decided to light on the Oakfield side. Am I Yotza? Yeah. It might not be as good a mitzvah because I didn't do it on the busier road of PPA, assuming it's busier, but I'm Yotza. But someone from PPA will walk past PPA and say, I don't understand. This chap backs on PPA and backs on Oakfields. Where is it busier? PPA. Why is he not lighting on that side? They won't say because he decided to light on Oakfields and it was just more convenient. They'll say, if he didn't light on the busier side where there's a bigger mitzvah, surely he didn't light at all. That's where Ramosh Feinstein says, that's where the real chashad really stems from. And then they say, loy plug, in all other cases, there's a gzera. So actually, sort of the opposite of Rav Shlomo Kluger's case, says Ramosh Feinstein, is where this whole gzera stems from. Okay. Now, this whole chashad, we've explained that that's the way people think, but still, it's a bit strange that people are thinking this way. And, you know, to make a person have to light twice because people decide that if he didn't light on this side, he didn't light on that side, it's a bit far-fetched. And more, the Gemara says on this, how do we know that we care about people's worries? Their chashad. What do you mean? All across Shas, we care about people's chashad. Why does the Gemara pick on Hilchos Chanukah to ask this question? So the Chacham Tzvi says, because actually in Hilchos Chanukah, it's not a usual chashad. It's a very far-fetched chashad. And it's a drabonon. It's only a midrabonon. To go so far-fetched on thinking he didn't light, and on a drabonon, is unheard of. And therefore the Gemara asks, why are you choshed on Chanukah these chashotas? So I want to suggest, before we go on to more examples of chashad, I'd like to suggest a nice idea regarding Chanukah to understand why by Chanukah specifically we're busy with chashad. So, the answer in a nutshell really is, I think we know it, what is the mahus of mitzvah Chanukah? The mahus of the mitzvah, the way they were metaken it, was that we're meant to be mefarsim nenes. That is what it is. It's not like a regular mitzvah, do the mitzvah. Be mefarsim nenes, make a noise, make it known to others. For whatever reason, Purim also has such a concept. Be mefarsim nenes. If so, it's logical that it has to be as clear as possible. And will worry here more than elsewhere if it's slightly unclear. The Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah tells us, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a cherished mitzvah. It's a mitzvah chaviva ad moed. And a person has to be careful, lohoidiya hanes, or lohoise peshvach hakel, and to thank him on the nisim. He stresses to thank Hashem and to make clear and known the nes. So if that's so, it's got to be, this is the mitzvah. The mitzvah sayon is to make it as clear as possible and not allow any discrepancies to come in and anyone to worry. Don't leave place for people to worry that you're not doing the mitzvah. The Rambam says in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, that we are madlik neiros at night by the doorways of the houses every night, laharois or legalois. Hanes, again, like a double losha, it's not usual. Laharois to show ulegalois and make clear the nes. So again, you see, Chanukah is about prism hanes, it has to be clear. You have to make it clear.
But maybe we could also say, because the whole point of Chanukah is the fight against the misyavnim, so we have to show we're...
Yeah, so I'm coming to that. It's on the same lines. Why is there this akshonus of being mefaris in the nes? What's it all about? So I actually saw... In Josephus, Yosefun is a sefer that's quoted by Rishonim. At the same time, there's many things in there that don't go with Chazal. He was Jewish, but he was a Roman chronicler. He worked for the Goyim. So it was with, how you would call, maybe fake news, etc. It was with propaganda that didn't always go with what Chazal say. And that's why Avigdor Miller has a whole sefer, like, showing the discrepancies between Yosefun and Chazal. Doesn't always go. So, one of the very interesting things that Josephus says, he says that There's 8 days of Hanukkah. Why? To explain why 8 days. He says because they had to reinaugurate the Beis HaMikdosh. So that should be 7 days. Takes Chanukah Mizbeach is 7 days. But he says they had to rebuild things. It took them 8 days.
Okay.
And he says, but he heard that they call it the Festival of Lights. He doesn't know why. Maybe because Hashem shone upon them a light. Meaning, he showed them Siyata Teshmaya. They won. They got back to the Beis HaMikdosh. It was like a light in the darkness. Maybe that's called the Festival of, that's why it's called the Festival of Lights. Now, I don't know if it's called the Festival of Lights or not. But if you would ask me, why is it called the Festival of Lights? I wouldn't hesitate to answer. The answer is, because it was a miracle with the lights. He doesn't say that. It doesn't exist. Why? Either because they didn't hear of it, or because you need to believe the Kohanim, the Gedolei Yisrael, you need to believe Edim, and they refused to accept things that were beyond their brain, never mind if witnesses say. But Klal Yisrael, go with Yisodos HaTorah, and here you have the people, the Bnei Torah, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, that tell you that this is what happened to them in the Beis HaMikdosh. We grab it with both hands, because that's the opposite of the Yevonim. We the opposite of the Greek culture. It's not all what we understand we believe. Even what we don't understand we believe. If this is what Hashem did, and this is what the Gedolei Yisrael tell us, then we accept it. And therefore with Akshonus we go around making a noise about why it's the Festival of Lights. And it's important to show it to everyone, even those that wouldn't necessarily believe. No, make it famous, make it known. And show you Emunah in Chazal, show you Emunah in the Koyach HaTorah. And therefore, specifically by Hanukkah, like you're saying, there's a point to thwart the ideology of the Greeks and to announce it. And any lack of clarity is a chisoron in that, because it allows for the voice of the Yevonim to say, Efshinish, you know, no. Has to be clear that that's how it is. Torah relies on Edim, Torah relies on the Gedolei Yisrael, Torah has Nisim, and that's the message of Hanukkah. And I saw, after saying this, I saw in Rabbi Kiv Yosef Schlesinger, he be'erech, he answers this. He's bothered, why by Drabonon do we say Chashad? Often, when it comes even to Basar B'cholov, if you learn Yoredeya, when it comes to Basar B'cholov, when it comes to milk and chicken, we're more lenient on all the most poskim hold, we're more lenient on the Maris Ayins, because it's Drabonon. And yet here by Hilchos Chanukah, we're more machmir on the Maris Ayin than anywhere else, because that's the message of Chanukah, to make it as clear as possible, the Emunah in the Nisim and the Emunah in Chazal. So let's move on to some more cases of Chashad. The Shaar Teshuva says that since we see that people assume you didn't light, if they don't see your menorah on one side, even though maybe you lit on the other side, he goes further to say that what happens if you did light, you only have one doorway. You lit, and it went out after 5 minutes. What's the halacha? You're done. You lit, it was potentially able to be a light for half an hour, and then it went out, you're yotzer. You're yotzer. Should you leave your menorah there, sort of snuffed out, or can you put it away in the cupboard now? Finished. It's, you know, let's say it's the 8th day, you want to clear up. It's within the half an hour of hadlaka. Went out, you were yotzer, can I put it away? Says the Shaar Teshuva, not a good idea. The passerby will walk past, see a clean, empty window. If it's a menorah, and he sees oil, and he sees it's blacked out, something, so he'll be makel that mistomi, it was a light, and he put it out. Or he's makel on his manim, he'll see a reason to be not choshed you. But if you put it away, and it's within the shi of half an hour, people won't think, oh, it was a light, and it went out. They'll just say you never lit. And therefore he says, to keep it out. Now there's a few more types of chashados l'inyan Chanukah. There's halacha, hadlaka oisa mitzvah. That means, when you light, that's the mitzvah. That's why if it goes out, let's say potentially it could be a light for half an hour, and it went out after a minute, 2 minutes, it wasn't clear it was going to go out, you're yotzer. Because the main thing is the hadlaka. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though hadlaka oisa mitzvah, and it's not like the placing down of the menorah that's the mitzvah, you should still have it placed down. You shouldn't like light it, let's say inside, and then put it outside. Or you shouldn't light it in your hand, and then put it down. Why? Hadlaka oisa mitzvah, who cares what I'm doing with it? It says the roya, the onlooker will say, ah, it's his torch. He's walking around with it. It's his torch. He's taking it from this room to that room. He's putting it down. So if he lights it in his hand, although halachically speaking he's yoytzer, hadlaka oisa mitzvah, but the onlooker will say, since you're busy with it until it lands, it's just your torch. Strange torch, but it's just your torch. The Mishnah Berurah has a shaila What happens if you lit, and it was in its place, let's say here's the place of lighting, you lit, it was here, and I'd lock Oysa Mitzvah. 5 minutes later, you decide you're moving it to another room. Let's say the Oilem wants to sit on the couch in another room and sit by the Neiros and sing, but in the other room. He's not so sure you should move it. Even though in the Shas Hadlaka was down, but still the onlooker might pass by after that 5 minutes while you're moving. And again, it looks like a torch. So though it's less severe in this case, because the ik is B'Shas Hadlaka, even then the Mishnah Berurah has a chashash, you shouldn't move it. Interesting. Rev Zilberstein, saw this many years ago, as I was going through this, I remembered this thing of Rev Zilberstein. He says in London, they have Madame Tussauds. Yeah, and there they have bubot gumi, wax figures. And he wants to know, what happens if you have one of these wax figures outside your house? Let's say you're lighting like an Eretz Yisrael, properly outside your house. Today there's not so much chashash royim, because we light inside, it's much less. Yeah, and even in Eretz Yisrael there's a bit less of chashash royim, because there's always the chassidim that light inside, so you could be one of those that are lighting inside. But upon him, in a case where there's a chashash royim, you have a bupa outside, and you light in his hands. So do we say, you're not Yoitza? Because we said not to light in the hands, because then people think it's your torch. And the onlooker will pass by, he sees a live-looking image, he'll say, he's using it as his torch. Or do we say that since with a little bit of Iyun, he'll see after a little bit that this guy is just staying still, and it's not real, so Mamela, you are Yoitza, because we don't need to be Choshesh so far. That's a Shaila. I leave it to you to think if you are, if you're not.
Helmian wants to know what he said.
He didn't give an answer. He stayed sorry here. I would assume you're Yoitza, but.
There was a story in the news this week.
Yes.
Of a shop, I think in Soho somewhere, where they made a model, a mannequin, of a woman who was slumped over the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the police went past and they saw somebody slumped over the desk and they actually smashed their way into the shop.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah,
they smashed their way into the shop because they thought they were rescuing somebody.
Mamash, in the honor of the Omer. Very good. So you're saying that's a raya, lachora, that there is a chashad. Okay, very good. Okay. That's very good. That's a good addition. Okay. Fine.
To the policeman in Madame Tussauds. Everybody talks to this policeman in Madame
Tussauds. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Okay. Very good. So that brings it to life. Very good. Schmuck.
Send the story back to Rabbi.
Sorry.
Send the story back.
It's back to Rabbi Shlomo. He'd actually enjoy it. Mamash's street. Yeah. Okay. Next, there's time. Yeah, I think we'll manage this. There is another case, an interesting case of chashad, sort of not moving the menorah from place to place because people will think that you lit it for yourself. It stretches to a further case where it's really unlikely that people will think you're lighting for a torch. And that is the discussion, are you allowed to light one candle from the other? Let's say your shamash went out. Are you allowed to light from the other candle? There's a discussion in halacha, you can, you can't. The question is, what's the whole discussion? If I have to take the non-litten candle to the litten candle to light it, then I'm going to be moving it back afterwards, and people will see it in my hand. I thought we said, if the menorah is in your hand, you're not Yoitza. How can we have this discussion at all of lighting from one candle to the other? I've got this empty candle that hasn't been litten. I'm going to take it to the litten one, light it, and then put it back. You're carrying the Ner. If you're carrying the Ner, we said, people will say it's your torch. So some say it's such close proximity, and you see it's just a cup that's belonging to the menorah. It's not like carrying a whole menorah. That's a simple answer. But some are choshesh, and some say you take the already litten candle to the non-litten candle, and will be makel in such close proximity that hadlaka is a mitzvah, the ikka is it was already litten sitting down. But one of the most bizarre to Rutzim, taking this literally, is the Mishnah Berurah says that we're talking about your wick is so long that can reach from one cup to the other. That's what we're talking about, that you're lighting. You're not moving the cup at all due to this chashad. So, depends on how extreme you take this chashad, but you see it is taken to a certain extreme. There's another halacha that if one is a guest by someone, then he has to, even though his wife is lighting at home, he should join in money with the Balabais and with his adloka. And the Shmur says, today, even that's not good enough, you should actually light your own menorah. Even though your wife's lighting at home, and you're joining him with money, it's not good enough. I'm not saying strictly speaking adloka, but he says such a tzad, because people today are used to everyone lighting their own menorah. If they don't see you lighting, they're choshed you're not lighting. So again, you see how far this goes. Now, there is a discussion, do you make a brocha, let's say on this case, where you're lighting on two sides of your house because people are nervous that you never lit. Now you lit with a brocha on one side. Now just because people are nervous, you're lighting on the other side. Do you make a brocha on the adlocha on the other side? Meaning, it's chashad, it's not real lighting, so I don't make a brocha. Or since Chazal made a takona, mishum chashad, it's halocha now that you have to light mishum chashad, so maybe you'd have to make a brocha. It's a discussion. In the case where you're carrying it, and people think that you never lit the menorah, there's more reason to say that you'd have to make a brocha, because there, your actual hadlocha has a fault in it. People don't see it as presumptuous, your actual hadlocha, your very hadlocha. So there is more discussion that if you have to relight it and you have to make a brocha. But in the case of two doors, your actual hadlocha was good. Just because the people on PPA didn't see it, that menorah is good, the people on Oakfield see it. And you made a brocha and it was chal. Therefore, the second menorah that you're doing is only mishum chashad. It's not because there's something wrong in what you lit, there's reason to say that you don't have to make a brocha. I'd like to finish with the Chovos HaHavos. It's true that the halacha demands that we clear ourselves of the chashad in these halachas, specifically in Netzach Hanukkah. Midrash Kisa, the Chovos HaHavos, gives a beautiful message to the nature of people. As the Rosh said, the nature of people is to look, is to home into what Yanim did wrong. Says the Chovos HaHavos, there was once a chosid walking with his talmidim, and they passed by the smelly carcass of a dog. It was very smelly. So the talmidim said, "Oh, how disgusting this nevela is." And the Rebbe said, "How beautifully white is its teeth." Says the Chovos HaHavos, the talmidim were mamash had charota, that they spoke badly. And he says, what this tzaddik was teaching them, that it's not good to talk bad even about a smelly dead dog. Kol shekein, a live person. And if it's good to praise a smelly dead dog about its teeth, its white teeth, kol shekein, it's a choiv to find good in a person and to praise him. And the message, he says, is to teach oneself not to speak bad and to teach oneself to speak and find the positive in Eid. So basically to shine the light and find the light in the darkness. Yes.